always a highlight of Football Mondays, brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. When Eric Wood joins in on the West Her Hotline, as he is doing right now. Of course, Eric was in the radio booth on the call of yesterday's game, along with our Sal Capaccio and play-by-play man, Chris Brown. Glad to have you with us, Eric. Mike is out sick today, so you're just stuck with me. How are you?
Is he just sick over fantasy football, or hopefully not just?
I can't. I didn't get details. I just knew he wasn't coming. I want to start with something a little silly, if you're up for it, because I saw your tweet this morning about the airport.
Yeah,
and you're a busy guy. You've got these commitments, different media things. So I don't know. Maybe you didn't have a day to kill in the airport. How high? Eric had one of these situations. I should just let you tell what happened. What happened to you at the airport today?
Well, so I was in a pretty delirious state. I had an 11:15 West Coast flight out of Seattle last night, red eye overnight into Detroit. And then I had a 8:30 a.m. flight to Louisville this morning that was overbooking. They were offering two people. It started out at 500, then it went to 1,000, then it went to 1,300. I needed to get back. I had one Bills Live to do at 1 o'clock. Mm-hmm. Needed to get back to the family. But from Detroit, that's only a little over a four-hour drive. I was thinking you could take that 1,300, rent a car, be home. My car's at the airport, so I could return it to the rental car spot at the airport. I'm not going to lie and say I considered it fully, but I put it on Twitter, like, that seemed like a pretty good number. You know,
yes.
If you don't have something to do that day, especially, let's say you're sitting there with your wife and you could swipe $2,600. They come on Visa cards, so essentially, you know, you get $2,600 tax-free. Seems like a pretty good deal.
Yeah, I don't travel as much as someone who's like a big wheel like you. But I've had the announcement. Do they announce the dollar amount, or is it they announce that they are looking for people to change flights and then you go up and negotiate? Like, how does that work? Because I'm having a hard time imagining the person over the public address that was going, actually, we'll give you $850.
No, they were announcing it. So.
Wow.
And then you see everyone kind of looking around like, okay, well, who's going to make the first move? Because they said they would only do two.
Right.
So if someone makes the first move, you got to be pretty quick to get the second one. Eventually, I think it settled on 1,300 and two people took it.
Wow. So do they just basically negotiate against themselves? Like, so they started at 800 and then got to 1,300. Like, what kind of time frame are we talking about?
Probably 5-ish minutes. I mean,
wow.
We were right up against the boarding, and they're oversold on the flight. And, you know, a couple people are going to have – the next flight back to Louisville wasn't until 4:45 p.m. So you're essentially giving up 8 hours of your time.
Right. Still a pretty – that's a pretty tasty payout, though, I think. So, I don't know. I've had the announcement, we're overbooked if anybody was willing to change, but I never heard a dollar amount attached to it, and so I was just curious how that process actually unfolds.
Yeah. And I think it's probably impacted based upon how long you're going to have to wait till your next flight to your destination. But I would go up there and offer a big number. I mean, at this point, I wouldn't be shy throwing out – a pretty high number just based upon how quickly they got to 1,300 today.
Right. Eric Wood on the Western Hotline with us. Bills over the Seahawks yesterday in Seattle. I know, at least I think I know, I heard Chris Brown mention that you did get out for, before the game, for at least some appearance at a tailgate. What was the scene like there? Because I was not expecting as many thousands of Bills fans in Seattle, just because, you know, it's across the continent. I was really impressed by the turnout.
I was too. I was honestly blown away by the turnout. I'm not going to lie. And I had seen a bunch of social media fans with full flights heading out. You know, I think it was that Toronto direct, you know, multiple days where that was packed with Bills fans. But even then, okay, you have a couple of flights full. What's that? You know, 200 people, let's call it. I mean, there were thousands of Bills fans in the stadium yesterday. I did an appearance for Game Day Buffalo or Game Day Hospitality yesterday and before the game and their tailgate. This was 4 hours before the kick. It's drizzling rain, and it was slammed out there. I know there was multiple, like, structured Bills tailgates going on yesterday before the game. So it was fun to see. I saw a bunch of Bills fans at the airport last night. Saw some that were in Detroit this morning, whether on my flight or other flights connecting. So it's the Bills fans are enjoying this run that we've been on. And, you know, I'm traveling in and out, whether it's home or away, I'm traveling in and out for all the games. So I get to meet a lot of Bills fans
right.
at the airport. And it's fun to, you know, a lot of the people I met yesterday were, man, I'm the biggest Bills fan, but I live in Vancouver, so this is the easiest one for me to make. Or, you know, I'm in the military and I'm stationed on the West Coast, so this is the closest one
right.
for me. Or we've been knocking out different stadiums and we haven't done Seattle yet because we haven't played out here since 2016. And so it's always neat for me to hear all the individual stories as well.
Yeah, awesome. I met a guy 2 seasons ago in Buffalo for that Packers game. I think it was 2 seasons ago from Vancouver. He was like maybe the president of the Vancouver Bills Backers Association. I'm like, Vancouver, British Columbia. All right. Awesome. In my head, I'm thinking he must have been at this game yesterday, although I didn't see any social media from him indicating that he was. Well, that's just really cool. Like I heard their radio analyst, guy that does your jobs, former linebacker Dave Winham. Do you know who I'm talking about?
Yeah, I actually met him yesterday before the game for the first time.
Yeah, and he was on with Brownie and Steve late last week, and they asked him about the scene out there, and he said, you know, guys, the last couple of years, there's been more and more opposing fans. It's not like it used to be, and that sort of got my attention, and I wondered how much we'd notice Bills fans out there, but it sounds like they did a great job.
I was on the field for pregame, and let me preface this by saying, generally the away fans go into the stadium before the home crowd. Home crowd's got their weekly traditions. They got their tailgate set up. You know, they're around all their buddies. So, and the away fans want to come in. They want to check out the stadium early. So it's fairly normal for there to be more more away fans, or a higher percentage than what's going to end up for the game. But when the teams ran out for warmups, you couldn't tell if it was the Bills or the Seahawks running out. And, I mean, you would talk about getting juiced up as a player. Not that you need any extra motivation for most NFL football games, but it's a good feeling when that happens.
Yeah, I love that McDermott mentioned it yesterday, and I know numerous players also commented about it, which is why I wanted to take it up with you. Eric Wood on the Western Hotline with us here. Bills improved to 6-2 over Seattle yesterday, 31-10. So the game itself, Eric, I want to start with your area of expertise, or what certainly the position you play. That offensive line is just mashing people.
They look like they're having fun out there. I'll say that. I mean, just highlight blocks, and you know, some of it is they're putting them in positions on those little bubble screens. You get a Spencer Brown or a Deion Dawkins on a, you know, nickel guy in space, a safety. If the receiver sets them up, it takes a receiver to put that block on you. But those guys are just train wrecking guys. The run game was going yesterday. If they didn't have those ticky-tack holding calls, James Cook likely over 150 on the ground. And, yeah, they're playing well up front. And I tried to continue to defend the offensive line through the Baltimore and Houston week, saying, look, when you're down 3 scores, any offensive line in the league is going to look bad. It's just how it is. You're getting goofy pressures from defensive coordinators that aren't afraid about – you know, having an unsound blitz and giving up 20 yards when you're up 3 scores. And so any offensive line is going to look pedestrian in those games. But they've put together a great body of work this year. Seems like the Bills made a really smart investment in Spencer Brown at right tackle, getting him re-signed. Deion just continues to play at a high level. And then that interior three, I feel like they're really coming into their own. You got David Edwards going in at left guard, kind of shuffling at that center and left guard spot up front, and it seems like that middle three is really coming to their own as well. And then you bring Alec Anderson in off the bench as your sixth lineman. He plays with a ton of attitude up front. And then you got guys, I mean, obviously not offensive linemen, but it takes everyone in the run game to be able to spring some of those bigger runs. Guys like Mac Hollins, Keon Coleman was...
Dude, yeah, what was...
I don't know what was said to him pregame yesterday. I don't know if the Seahawks said something. I don't know if the Bills said something to him. But whatever was said, let's continue to say that. I mean, he came out and played with his hair on fire yesterday. Obviously, he gets that personal foul when he drives that dude into the bench. But, look, you talk about a rookie earning some respect from his teammates. You take a Pro Bowl corner that's 6'4", and stick his nose on the bench because you blocked him that far. I mean, after the game, I want to sign Cleet that to this game. That was awesome.
Right. So, with all that said, Eric, I love what they're doing in the run game up there, and we know that since Joe Brady took over in the back end of last season that they've been a more run-heavy type team. Something else I liked yesterday, though, you mentioned Alec Anderson. They threw out of that. Like, and it's not the first time they did it. They had a nice touchdown to Keon Coleman in the Jacksonville game that I think was out of that as well, with Anderson on as the sixth O-lineman. But even the first play of the game, two tight ends, and here's Dawson Knox. Like, it looks – it's a tendency breaker, and I like that a lot because the Bills have been running on first downs, I think, over 60% of the time on the year. And yesterday, I think maybe 9 of 14 in the first half, were first down plays were passes. And I feel like that they have enough faith in their passing game to mix that up.
Absolutely. And I thought it was interesting. Chris Brown interviewed Bobby Babbage for the pregame interview, and Bobby Babbage said at this kind of week 8 mark of the season, you start getting some heavy tendencies where you have to self-scout those and go against them at times just because you have to understand what your natural tendencies are as a coordinator. Bobby Babbage, first-time play caller, he's got to see, okay, am I starting games off more conservative? Maybe I need to bring pressure early in game, just mix that up. Is Joe Brady getting into this rhythm of run pass early in games to where – we need to start off the game with a shot over the middle of the field where the linebackers are expecting run as well. And so I felt like on both sides of the ball, they came out more aggressive early in this game and allowed them to get off to a faster start. And, you know, this Bills team, when they've been able to start fast in games, when they've scored first in games or on their first drive of the game this season, they're 3-0 in those games. And so we'll see how that plays out throughout the rest of the year. But when they've been able to get into a rhythm early, it just seems like that continues throughout the game.
Yeah, the fast start was, I think, something that was emphasized, and they definitely got that. 3-and-out, touchdown. How about Seattle? I mean, the Bills had some good fortune in this game, too. Obviously, the botched snap down at the goal line, and then the next series after the interception, good thing Allen got in there and made the tackle, keep that guy out of the end zone, because they ended up going 4-and-out from there when Geno Smith tripped on his center. That was just really bad luck.
It is bad luck. Now, the play you tripped on your center, he's getting tripped up because you have penetration up front. So when those defenses.
Well, that is something, right?
Yeah. So when those defenses. And look, that was something as a center you're always worried about. You're starting to play with your hand between your legs. You know, if they both fire off, if both those guys on either side of you fire off into you and the guard doesn't take some of that, it's really hard not to go backwards when you've got to complete the snap. And so if either of your feet come back and you trip up the quarterback, that's exactly what happened. And so, and not that those defensive tackles are walking up there saying, if I can push the center back, we're going to trip up the quarterback. But they're obviously trying to penetrate in the middle of that defense. And so it was a hell of a stop by the Bills. That a number of high snaps from a seventh-year center. I didn't expect that out of Connor Williams yesterday. But he was struggling out there. And the rain, generally when it's rainy like that, you get a slick ball, and that's where you see some of the balls. The shotgun snaps go low because you can't complete the snap because it slips on you. He was flinging it over Geno's head. Only one goes for a fumble over his head, but there was multiple that were fairly high. And so, yeah, the Seahawks did hurt themselves. These weren't as crucial, but I felt like the Bills, between the penalties and then special teams-wise, really hurt their field position in this game where they ended up racking up a ton of yards because of it. But it also made, you know, drives last longer. A couple of their punts, maybe they're across midfield by the time, you know, they have to make a decision on fourth down. But because of decision making, penalties, whatever it may be, I felt like the Bills hurt themselves field position wise.
I have not seen numbers on this, but it feels to me like illegal formation, two men in motion, that kind of stuff. Not just in Bills games, all over the league, it feels like I'm just seeing more of that. That might just be, you know, me reacting to a moment here, but it just feels like I'm seeing more of that. How can Sean, I'm sure McDermott, he's talking while we're talking, or was, I don't know if he still is going. I'm sure he's being asked about penalties, and it'll be a point of emphasis this week because they've had a couple of games now here pretty recently. The Jet game was like this too, where it was like, the most penalties in the league so far this year or something like that. Not just on the Bills, but both teams. Pre-snap stuff, though. What can you do to work on that? Because that just seems like that would be the one. I mean, holding, pass interference, stuff is going to happen. You're battling, you know, and they don't call it all the time. But the pre-snap stuff has got to be really frustrating.
Yeah, that's the stuff that we always say, that's inexcusable. Like, you got to focus, you know, if it happens once or twice because you're trying to get the perfect jump on the ball, fine. But when you're going off on the wrong cadence or you sent two guys in motion and one guy wasn't supposed to be in motion, you know, that's just being sloppy as an offense. And that's concentration, it's focus, it's preparation, and Sean's going to harp on that. And, you know, I'm with you. The calls are up, it seems like, this year now. Chris Brown set it up in the pregame yesterday that the Bills had the officiating crew coming in giving the most penalties in the league so far this season, and they sure lived up to it. I believe there was 32 flags thrown in the game. I'm not sure, maybe right around 20 or so accepted, but I think there was 32 flags thrown throughout the game. There was some offsetting and whatnot, so really crushes the flow of the game, especially from a broadcasting perspective when you're trying to make a point after a play, but the officials got to talk.
Uh-huh.
You get a cut right over the top of you every time you go to make a point. Well, then you lay out. Well, then they have this 30-second discussion about the play, and now you got dead airspace. So, but all that to say, you know, they got to focus in. Now, when you have these more and more complex offenses, teams are using motion more and more to their advantage these days. You know, if you have won a game, you take it. Just based upon the fact that you're catching an advantage in so many situations using motion to be able to either compromise the defense, confuse them, not let your guys get jammed up at the line of scrimmage.
Well, that's a good observation. Motion has got to be up around the league. It's become one of those keys to, like, unlocking your passing game, I think. Yep. So coordinators are using it more and more, so it stands to reason with more of it being used, there would be more mistakes while using it. Last thing I want to ask you about, just before you came on, I was talking about what Anthony Richardson did yesterday with the Colts. Did you see this? I know you were traveling and you've had this day, but do you know that in the third quarter of the game, the Colts starting quarterback like tapped out for a line change?
Yes, I heard about this, and I've never seen that. I heard Mark Sanchez make a joke on Colin Cowherd earlier today that, I mean, at least make up that your hamstring was tight.
Right.
Just say, I got a little tight hamstring. Okay, never mind. I'm good to go. Yeah, I've never seen that. It's pretty common that the six players throughout an NFL game that don't come off the field are the five offensive linemen and the quarterback. Now, sometimes you have your corners play every single snap or Nick, whatever it is.
Right, right.
But as far as the offensive side of the ball, the quarterback and the offensive line stay on the field.
Right.
And so that's not a great look. I would have made something up.
Yeah, right. Yeah, like anything. I'm wondering if he knows how football works. Like, and that's the quarterback of your team. Like, I don't know. It blew my mind when I heard about that.
Yeah, either that or he said he was tired to cover something else up. Like,
no.
He had to use the restroom, or I don't know if he got hit and he was trying to cover up a head. I don't know what he was doing. But if he truly was just tired and he was just being completely honest, it's a bad look.
Yeah, it is a bad look. All right, so Miami rolling in here. I would imagine, you know, we're going to be hearing about desperation and backs to walls and those kinds of things. And maybe, you know, conversely, on the Bills side, like, maybe they're a little too comfortable. They got a big lead in the division. Like, how do they stay sharp? Because I think Miami, whatever they're capable of, they will be bringing everything they've got, I would think, to this game, because it feels like their season must be on the line here.
Yeah, they're pretty close to it. And so the Bills got to be ready for Mike McDaniel to throw the kitchen sink at them. It'll be Tua's second start back, likely a little bit sharper than he was a week ago, or yesterday, I'll say. And then that offense looked much better. And it's not like Tua made some incredible plays down the field. That offense just runs a whole lot smoother. when he's in there. And so, you know, the Bills played well down in Miami. The game really got away from him when Tua went out of the game. But Bills had a nice lead before he went out. And so Bills got to take care of business. And it's a week-to-week league. And the Bills, these last couple weeks, last 3 weeks, have been playing some really good football. And so they'd love to keep that going. Look, this is only your fourth time playing in front of your home crowd this year. I know they're excited to get back at home.
All right, Eric, sounds good. Thank you. Safe travels this week, and we'll see you up here this weekend.
Okay, sounds good.
That's our man, Eric Wood. His weekly appearance here on WGR brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. And by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop at northtownkia.com. All right, we're at a timeout here. Phone lines are open. You want to get in on the vibes yesterday out there? If you were out there, feel free to call and share what being in Seattle was like. If you weren't and just were impressed by it, love to hear from you. I feel great today about this season so far. I mean, 6-2. Who would not have signed in blood back in August for 6-2? To start the season. Yes, they lost very likely to the two best teams they've played so far this year, and that can, you know, stick in your craw a little bit, but through 8 games, 6-2 is absolutely a record I would have taken. So feel really good about where they're at, the way the conferences look. I just don't feel like there's anybody that's too good for them right now. So that's a pretty good place to be just about halfway through your 17-game season. 803-0550 is the phone number if you'd like to get in and join the conversation. I would love to hear from you. Sal Capaccio will join the show in about 35 minutes at 5 o'clock, so we've got that to look forward to as well, but your calls are certainly welcomed right after this as we continue. Mike Shope is out sick today, along with Zach Jones. I am the Bulldog, and you're listening to WGR.